Okay. With that, I'd like to call the Monday, February 2nd, 2026, regular Borough Assembly meeting to order. And with that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Lynn?
Here.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Here.
Member Martin?
Here.
Member Mucci?
Here.
Member Newman?
Here.
Member Schwartz?
Here.
Member Valentine?
I think he's on his way.
Okay.
So with that, I'll move on. Next is the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's no minutes from the last meeting to approve. They'll be on the February 17th agenda. And with that, do I have a motion to approve today's agenda?
So move.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Martin. Are there any amendments? Okay. Hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll on approving the agenda as it stands?
Member Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Okay. With that, Member Valentine just walked in the room, right. So we have a full assembly today. I'm going to move on to public hearings. Today we have several public hearings. The first one on the agenda is Ordinance 2026-02, an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough Assembly vacating a portion of the 7th Street right-of-way and authorizing conveyance of the vacated area to the borough to be consolidated with adjacent block 275 to create a lot suitable for residential development. Any public hearing regarding Ordinance 2026-02 should be given during this public hearing. A copy of the Ordinance 2026-02 is found under Agenda Item 14B. Is there anybody who would like to talk to this ordinance? Okay. Seeing none, and there's nobody on the on Zoom. Okay. I'll move on to the second item. Ordinance 2026-03, an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code Chapter 14.20, entitled Municipal Harbors, to increase harbor fees. Any public testimony regarding ordinance number 2026-03 should be given during the public hearing. A copy of the ordinance of 2026-03 may be found again under Agenda Item 14C. Is there anybody that would like to talk to this ordinance? Okay, please come forward, state your name and who you represent. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Anthony Tiber, and just speaking for myself. I just kind of had some concerns about how this was presented to you guys during the last meeting. Excuse me. You know, there's three main points that were brought up, such as inflation, labor costs, and utility rates. You know, that's kind of been presented like it's not an issue for the commercial fishing fleet. It's a huge issue for us and something that's been a great burden. You know, the fishing industry seems like from every facet is just being eaten alive, and we're looking for any little angle to receive some alleviation from that. The main driver, though, is seemed to be pay increases for the staff. And do they deserve that? Absolutely. I think all the borough employees, especially the folks with boots on the ground, deserve pay increases. And they have to fight, you know, whatever, every 3 years just to try to get themselves kept up with inflation. So I have no qualms with the services provided by the harbor. I think it's great, and the facilities are wonderful. But I just think that we need to take a hard look at the borough, or at the harbor being an enterprise fund, and maybe see if there's better ways for the harbor to collaborate with the city. I heard that, you know, GLOW complained a little bit about not getting breaks. And I just wonder if we could, as James suggested, maybe pick this apart a little bit. So I thought that was a good suggestion, James. And you too, Jeff. I really appreciate the questions you brought up. As looking for alternative ways other than just raising the rates for the users. My rates haven't gone up. They haven't even stayed, you know, stable. They're just going down. So I think knocking on the door of the fishing fleet to fund extra costs at the harbor level is just not doable for a lot of us. So I don't know what an enterprise fund really, I know what it is, but I don't know why it has to be that way. And I think it's time to ask some, you know, tough questions. And I think it's time for the harbor to look for other ways to collaborate to bring down their costs. For example, with utilities, you know, it's time to ask Power and Light to maybe provide some power at cost. And it's time to look at services provided. You know, nobody wants services cut, but I think a lot of us are in the boat where we may prefer to see services cut versus rates increase. And again, collaboration with the city. I mean, asking ourselves what it would look like for the borough to maybe come under the harbor to come under the umbrella of the borough, if that could help with efficiencies in certain ways. So thanks for, I do thank the harbor and you guys for all your service. I think this should get picked apart a little bit before it advances. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk about this ordinance? Okay, seeing none, I'll move on. There are no bid awards today, so I'm gonna move on to person to be heard related to today's agenda. Is there anybody who would like to talk about items related to today's agenda? Please come forward, state your name, and you've got 5 minutes, and who you represent.
Thank you, Judy Omer. Speaking to the recommendation to the assembly from the Planning Commission, and just an encouragement to go back and look at what lands could be reassigned or traded or swapped or encouraged title to look at. We brought in the DNR contacts with the state on transferring some of the state lands for specific purpose. You can do it with, you know, specific intent and that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be a sold lot right away. And that would be one thing. And then we've got the list of signatures from Petersburg residents asking that you relocate the tower specifically at Papke's Landing on Rory Road. And at this point, we got 283 of those. So I just encourage you to take hold of the Planning Commission's approval of that, and find a way to get that tower relocated. I know since about October 14th, you've been hearing a lot of the reasons why, and I just hope you can go with that and we can make decisions for our town instead of letting other people from outside do that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to talk to items related to today's agenda?
Hi, my name's Tom Kowalski, and I'm speaking for myself. I did some research here in recent weeks concerning issues before the borough, one of them being the proposed contract sale of the borough land to Title Network. There's another item that we're going to talk about, which is the possible alternative site for the Papke's Landing Tower site. And something that came across during these efforts was an understanding about what's going on. And I think if we take a minute and consider that the towers that Title Network is proposing to install are going to be using satellite-based signal. And the satellite-based signal that they're going to use is the same signal that anybody has access to with a GPS unit, with Starlink. There are many different ways that we can use this satellite signal from different satellites that does not require a tower. We do not need a tower to use this service. Now, the Telecommunications Act of 1996 has many protections in it, and those protections are for towers that are connected by a landline. Those towers and that landline cannot be accessible by anybody unless they have a cell phone and a cell phone contract with the cell phone tower. The only way these cell phones work is through these towers. And that is why they are protected under the Telecommunications Act of 1996. These towers that Title Network is putting up are not protected by the Telecommunications Act of 1996. As a matter of fact, the judge in Sitka ruled that these towers are not protected by this act. And I just would like you guys to consider this for anything that pertains to these towers moving forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Would anybody else like to talk about items related to today's agenda? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
My name is John Mergus. I represent myself and my neighbor, John Baird. John Baird did write you folks a letter that is in your correspondence section of today's meeting. And I read that and I said, wow, this is a pretty good letter. This is kind of what I wanted to say. So I called John, who's out of town. He could not attend today, and asked if I could plagiarize his letter. And he said, yes, please do. So I'll be reading most of his letter here. And it's I'm allowed to sign with him, basically. Okay, as he is written. As a resident, Papke's, I have concerns about the planned location of Title's broadcast tower. Though I am not opposed to 5G towers on the island, I see no need for them to be directly over people's houses. Residents have specifically said they do not want them so close to their homes, whether it's for perceived health issues, aesthetic reasons, or lowered property values. Their proposed tower will stand directly across from the street from my house and adjoining property line that, until now, I was planning to build a new house on. That's not likely to happen if the tower goes in at the flower farm. This project will discourage development in the neighborhood for new homes, as in my case. I don't want to cast blame, but I am alarmed and disappointed at the short-sightedness and haste with which this assembly agreed to so willingly give free rein to an outside corporate entity for dubious returns. I've had high-speed internet at my home for years now and have yet to meet anyone on the island claiming to be, quote, underserved, unquote. Some of the council claim their hands are tied as there is no zoning outside of the area, yet their hands were not tied when they decided to go ahead and let title put towers wherever they chose. We're feeling steamrolled and unprotected by the assembly. There is certainly another less impactful location for this tower. John, that's the end of the basic letter. John did say that he felt he was underneath a tower, and I also feel that it's kind of over my head. It's not directly over my head, but for me to look at the top of the tower from my property line, and John as well, you'd have to go like this. And you get a pretty sore neck. And the other comment I have is I am enthused with the reference in your agenda to discussing alternate location for the tower. I commend you for even discussing that, and I hope something could materialize from that. I really think it can. We are all looking forward to working with the communications company. We don't want to really stop them. We'd like to have the opportunity to work with them. So far that we haven't had that opportunity, but they've been indicating a little bit here and there that they seem to be a little more willing to work with us. So again, thanks for giving some consideration to helping them with a land swap. That's it. Thank you much for allowing me to speak.
Thank you for your testimony. For the public's, Mr. Baird had sent the assembly all a letter, and I think most of us have read it. So, but thank you for presenting it. Anybody else would like to talk to items related to today's agenda? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Hi, my name is Dave Beebe. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I have a bit of a different perspective, mostly from the medical angle. Almost 5 years ago, I put my money where my mouth was and from where my conscience spoke. I purchased a decent electromagnetic frequency or EMF meter and walked around our little town. You know what I found? I took measurements in proximity to the antenna arrays hovering over our entire school complex, daycare, and dozens of private residences. They registered among the hottest readings taken from the sidewalks alone. This is not just about updating building code as to how many or where more telecom towers get sited. This is about establishing 21st century EMF pollution safety limits from those towers. This monitoring deserves as much scrutiny and precautionary planning as any other public safety function of the borough. Consider the public health and safety purposes of geotechnical surveys, food safety inspections, sanitation, traffic flow, or building codes, etc. Updated EMF emissions monitoring are as vital as any other public health and safety function of the borough, state, and federal governments. As a Navy-trained surgical technician in all major surgical services, the overriding credo of the surgical team comes straight out of the Hippocratic Oath, the earliest expression of medical ethics in the Western world. And what would that credo be? Just four words. First, do no harm. Are we not here as a team honoring obligations to public health and safety in this room to first do no wrong harm? This certainly makes sense to all adults with a conscience in this room, right? Well, this is not so much about the adults in the room as it is about our obligations to our children and grandchildren. They are not only the most biologically vulnerable population, they are literally functioning as the first test subjects to be exposed to a lifetime of chronic EMF non-ionizing radiation exposures. This is what the military and medical research industries infamously imposed on black prison populations and soldiers on many occasions in our past. Are we going to allow the government to accomplish the same biological trials upon our innocent children with zero informed consent? By the way, informed consent is another international standard of medical ethics. Are we not going to defend and preserve sovereign functions of representative local government in the face of deliberate attempts by Congress to preempt states and municipalities' sovereign obligations to provide for public health and safety? That's what's at stake in our community. The recent explosion of 4G, 5G, and now 6G antennas and surveillance cameras everywhere has been a highly controversial matter nationally and regionally. I find it remarkable that just because it was legal, the common courtesy of informed consent of the public and recognition of highly controversial matters as this were not actually appropriately responded to with a serious heads up. Finally, are we not going to recognize the decades of regulatory capture of the FCC and its abject refusals of the FCC to comply in defiance and open contempt of court orders to update national safety standards? Transparency is essential to legitimacy of local governments as much as upholding obligations to the public trust, and I hope council votes will rise to this occasion. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else who would like to talk to items related to today's agenda? Please come forward and state your name.
My name is Jackie Tyson, and I also have an EMF reader, and I would hope that the city manager and mayor would provide you folks on the assembly with one of these EMF readers and have you go along and take and check, because I've been all over this island checking the EMF, the RF, everything. And it's to make a decision based on science, to make a decision that's well thought out, I think is what we have elected you folks for, to look out for us and protect us and to give us a safe place to live. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else that would like to talk to today's agenda?
Yeah, I wasn't planning on coming up, but I just figured I'd give you guys a little bit of context based on the Tidal Network's involvement in Petersburg. So the signal that they're actually here for was leased over to them from Petersburg Indian Association. And so where that comes from was that the federal government granted Petersburg Indian Association.
Can I interrupt you just a second?
No,
state your name and who you represent.
I got excited. My name is Brandon Ware. I'm representing myself here. And so, but yeah, just to clarify a little bit and for context, that the federal government granted 2.5 gigahertz signal to PIA as a result of tribal sovereignty, given that they did this across all over the nation, to tribal nations all over, and they granted this for whatever purposes they may use. And so the deal was that we went into contract and leased this signal out to Tidal Network in order so that they may defend our rights to using the signal. And so not saying anything else about it, but just the fact that that's the reason why we're here, and that's the signal that they're using. It's not just accessible to anyone. It's something that Petersburg Indian Association leased out to them. So technically we're the owners of the 2.5 gigahertz, but Tidal Network's just here operating under that. And so that's just a little bit of clarification here, and I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. Were you also going to talk about the anything related to subsistence?
I was actually, yeah.
Okay, please go ahead, if you will.
There we go. Yet again, Brandon Ware here representing myself, and I'm here to talk about the federal review of the subsistence board going on right now. So I don't know if you guys have heard. I know Heather Bauscher emailed the Assembly, and hopefully you guys have seen those documents. But currently the Federal Subsistence Board is under review by the federal government. And so what they're looking to do, and I have some notes here that I took. is they're looking to see a number of actions taken to that federal subsistence board. First off, to remove all six publicly elected voting seats, and so effectively that would wipe out any say that we have over the federal subsistence board and any sort of federal subsistence. And so on top of that, that's tribal and non-tribal seats alike. So this isn't just a tribal issue. This is a rural eligibility issue. And so whether that's shark cards, community shark cards, whether that's any sort of federal fisheries, subsistence fisheries that we may partake in from sockeye up to Stikine to Cochise Bay or Cochise Creek, all that is under the federal subsistence board. And they're looking to change the criteria to serve on the RACs, the regional advisory committees, and to change the rural status and how we qualify for rural status. And so this would affect communities all throughout Southeast Alaska that have rural status that are able to partake in these fisheries and these hunts that as set by the subsistence board. A few other things that we are granted under NOCA as a rural community, it's also which grants subsistence priority, are also subject to change. And any sort of federal subsistence hunt and fishery, and our rights and representation are under a threat as a result of this. And so the comment period ends on February 13th. And so while we didn't have a chance to get any sort of proposals put together, I just urge each and every person in this room to go on the federal website and make a comment about this, about how it affects you and how it affects us as rural subsistence users. And the more the better. And the PIA is currently working on a resolution, comment letter, and a request for government-to-government consultation so that we can see our subsistence rights be protected a little bit more. And yet again, I urge everyone to be aware of these changes, to go and comment on the federal subsistence website. And Sitka Conservation Society actually has a tool to where you can plug in all your information and make a little comment, and they will go into the federal subsistence comments and comment that for you under your name. And so just to streamline the process a little bit. So if anyone has any questions about that, you can email me at beware@piatribal.gov. And please talk to me if you have any questions. And Heather Bauscher is also a great person to talk to. She's really spearheaded a lot of this effort in Petersburg. So, yeah, I hope everyone comments here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your comments. Anybody else would like to talk to items related to today's agenda?
Raymond, we have a couple of people online.
Okay. Would you go ahead and...
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Okay. Rebecca, I think we have you. We have you. You've got the floor.
Okay. This is Becky Knight. $50 million. Think about it. That's the amount of taxpayer dollars Tlingit-Haida Central Council was granted through our federal government to, quote, serve tribal connectivity by building tower infrastructure in some, not all, Southeast Alaska communities. This is big government in its most glaring example and masquerading as characterized as a private enterprise. During TIDAL's January 27 Virtual Information Center session for Petersburg, and Judy mentioned this at the last meeting, but I'm gonna kind of drive it home again here, their response to a question about how TIDAL determined unserved or underserved areas was revealing. The TIDAL representative told Petersburg folks to the effect that since TIDAL alone did not supply any service in Southeast Alaska, then per FCC regulations, that certain locales can be deemed unserved or underserved. Thus a 100% gap with 0% connectivity. If we are to accept that absurd and misleading rationale, the same could be said of Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, and other carriers not operating in our locale. There has been no local hue and cry for TIDAL's products, despite numerous folks asking where the so-called demand is, and especially in consideration of excellent and affordable coverage by GCI, APT, and Starlink. In short, the FCC used their deceptive logic to justify location and construction of broadband towers and ultimately provide expanded cell capability. They promoted this initiative in part to, quote, reform red tape, knowing that local laws are outdated and with insufficient oversight. In other words, we can be steamrolled. This flawed logic is first for profit and second for expanded surveillance at the behest of the FCC's billionaire overlords to further track every click, every movement of our citizens, and complete loss of our constitutional guarantee of privacy in our lives. Title is only one of many easy avenues to achieving that goal. That's the bigger picture. And I know that sounds kind of conspiracy theorist, but I do a lot of reading on this, and that's the only thing I can conclude there. Title devoted much time during their community Zoom presentation, apologizing for their failure to engage locally and early on in the process, but they offered no remedy for that failure and maintained that they will venture on. The listening sessions are nothing more than checking the box and for appearance sake, PR at its finest. The public is not fooled or assuaged. A full legal public process embodied in the National Environmental Policy Act should have been fully engaged from the beginning. NEPA is the Magna Carta environmental law in this country. Title's project is a significant action affecting the quality of the human environment, the trigger for NEPA. Title used the least rigorous of NEPA reviews, an in-house categorical exclusion, to exempt Title from a hard look and disclosure of the impacts of its proposed project. Petersburg is not alone in this battle. And I'm going to attach in the chat box link to but one reference to other communities that successfully challenged and won similar projects using NEPA. I ask you to explore this avenue. I also ask the Assembly to formally request an unredacted copy of Title's grant project application in order to further access Title's intentions and how they qualified for the federal funds. The excuse Title uses for its extensive redactions is so-called proprietary information contained in the application. However, when multiple full pages are redacted, one can only conclude that what is behind all that black ink would be disadvantageous to the project had it been publicly divulged. I ask our local government not to submit to any perceived short-term gains at the expense of the loss of our rights as American citizens. Other American cities have successfully fought this initiative. The only thing needed from this Petersburg Assembly is the will. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else on the line?
Yes. Okay. Go ahead, Nicole.
Okay. Nicole, you have the floor.
Thank you kindly. Yes, this is Nicole McMurrin. I'm speaking on my own behalf today, and I am seeking to address the, again, as others, item 9A, and also a request for a special board meeting regarding Title Network's effort here in the community. I'm grateful that the borough is interested in seeking some degree of reprieve for the folks out at Papke's. It did appear at the work session that Title has every intention of moving forward out there despite the loudly voiced opposition. And they need some help. And it doesn't seem like they're going to get it from Title. And it really seems like Title is quite disinterested in their concerns. My question, and that keeps coming up for me, is I am really unclear as to why we are beholden to accommodate Title Network's interest. I see, you know, there'll be a proposal that comes before the Planning Commission. I believe they moved that to March to sell a portion of public use land down on Haugen Drive. I'm confused why we are bending over backwards to accommodate them when we don't have ordinances that are up to date to address this type of infrastructure build, when we have other towers within the community that they say they can be utilized. I had understood that the grant required them to build their own towers. Asked directly, that is apparently not true. It's just very confusing to me why we are trying to address a business need that the community has not stated it has a need for. So should you proceed to look at sites within the community to accommodate them, I would also offer it's a poor precedence to look at public open space to provide an answer to a business stated need rather than a community stated need. So thank you for your time and attention to this. I know it's been sucking up a lot of energy, but it means a lot to people, myself included. So thank you for that. And on a separate note, I would like to echo Brandon's comments regarding the subsistence board. I actually think it would be an excellent move for the borough to write a letter and state its opposition to the proposed changes, because they really are significant and they will impact the daily behaviors of our community greatly. Thank you very kindly for your attention and for all your service. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anybody else on the line? Okay. Anybody else would like to talk to items related to today's agenda? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
Hi, my name's Erica Warhatch, and I've come to a lot of these meetings, listened to a lot of these people's concerns, my friends and neighbors, and you guys too. Thank you for listening to us. I guess one of my things that I feel like needs to be more emphasized is an individual who would want to come here and be a resident or build their own home. We've been talking a lot about this housing crisis in the last few years. And how would somebody put a bid in, like say they wanted to buy the Fowler Farm or the property on Mill Road, how would they compete with an entity like Title? It's just not a level playing field, and I don't know that enough has been said about it. And thank you for listening. I'll stop before I keep babbling.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else like to talk to items related to today's agenda? Please come forward, state your name and who you represent.
My name is Kirsten Dupree, and I represent myself. And I just want to say what I said last time. From their application, Clinkett and Hyde, a bid proposal provides qualifying broadband service to 100% of unserved households in its service areas within its tribal lands, that is, all of Southeast Alaska. Clinkett and Hyde will offer those services in other service areas unless there is either an objection or duplication. And that is, this is in their application, objection or duplication. And that's what we have going on here. Not to mention the health issues and everything else that these things bring. They determine that there will be 32 towers required for all service areas, subject to detailed engineering and post-award field work. They expect that 25 new towers will require full construction. The 7 existing towers will be required for coverage and service provisions. I am sure there are communities within Southeast Alaska that would love this service. Petersburg seems to not be one of them. We have service. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else like to talk to items related to today's agenda? And nobody else again on Zoom? Okay, I'm going to move on then to items unrelated to today's agenda. And I gave Brandon a chance to talk early, but I appreciate that. Anybody else like to talk to items unrelated to today's agenda? Please come forward and state your name and who you represent.
Yeah, Tom Kowalski again. And I just want to speak to the borough as a whole. What I've learned in this process of dealing with the tower issue, there's a lot of unity within the community against the towers. And there's a lack somewhere in the process to give the borough's ability to deal with this issue from the get-go. It seemed to me that once this issue first came up, that there should have been something somewhere in your process that makes you ask the question, will this adversely affect any community members? I don't know how to make that happen, but I would like for you to think about that and maybe add something in the process that would give you an extra step, an extra layer. You know, you guys are here to protect the people. Your job is to create and update ordinances, and those ordinances are put in place to protect us. And I think there's some improvements that can be done. And if you need another person, if we need to hire somebody that looks at every actionable item with a process involved, that they can do the work that we've been doing. We've been doing a lot of work at home. If you add up the time that I've been working on these towers, I could probably take off work for a couple of months if I got paid for it. And there's another thing I want to bring up. You guys don't get paid very much for what you do. There's no real incentive for you guys to spend your whole Saturdays and Sundays researching contentious items. And I think that needs to be fixed. I think there needs to be some incentive built into your system, our system, to allow you guys to be better educated and to make good decisions. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else wants to talk about items related to unrelated to today's agenda?
This is also Judy Omer, and speaking for myself. More about the process, and I think some of the disappointments therein. You've all been patient in all of us getting up and speaking to this same issue of the towers that's very near and dear to our hearts and the people that thank us for doing what we're doing. This last week where we had the listening session, as it was called, with Tidal, and then back to back with the work session that was with the borough, I think we came with the idea that we were going to have some kind of interaction or exchange, and that wasn't the way it played out, and it just felt like it was all shut down. And that was probably the hardest thing to have to deal with, where we can't talk with you other than to talk at you, and you can't talk where we even know what's going on in how the borough is processing all this. So trust and transparency is at a very, very much of a low. But I do know that the comeback story is the story of all times. And I'm hoping that as we conclude this piece of the meeting and move on to where the decision is in your hands, and you're hopefully representing what you've been hearing since October when we found out about the towers coming into town. I'm hoping that you can help write that comeback story where we get our town back and we don't need to take direction from what's happened in another community or in the lower 48 or because one lawyer thinks this or or whatever, that we start having a vision for our town, ourselves, and that we can work with the borough. I know we've brought a lot of information to you, and we just like, it feels like it just goes in a big old hole. We don't know where it goes. But we hope that it helps in making, informed decisions and a comeback story for Petersburg. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else like to talk to items unrelated to today's agenda?
We have one online.
Okay. Could you go ahead and unmute?
This is Sarah Fine Walsh speaking on behalf of myself in my capacity as a Planning Commission member. At a recent Planning Commission meeting, we had a pretty full house, standing room only, with borough residents, I believe mostly of Papke's, working with us to develop a draft ordinance, which should get to the assembly's attention later this month. And one issue that came up was folks realizing that being outside of service area one means that any zoning zoning code update that we do to address tower locations would not be enforceable where they live. And we didn't have answers on hand at that time for the process of creating a new service area, but I've talked to some folks and gotten some research together, and there is a process clearly laid out in our charter in Article 14, so I was going to read part of it. so folks in the room can start thinking about creating new service areas so that zoning regulations can be enforceable where they live. So this is, our charter is available online. Article 14 addresses service areas. So I'm just going to launch in here. Section 1403 is creation, expansion, consolidation, alteration, and termination of service areas. Service areas may be established to provide services not provided on an area-wide basis or to provide a higher level of service than that provided on an area-wide basis. A, creation of service areas. The assembly may create new service areas only by an ordinance that describes the boundaries of the service area and the powers to be exercised therein, and which is either, one, approved by a majority of the voters residing within the proposed new service area, or two, consented to in writing by all of the owners of real property within the boundaries of the proposed service area if no voters reside in the proposed service area. B, expansions or reductions of service areas. The boundaries of a service area may only be expanded or reduced by an ordinance adopted by the assembly which describes the proposed new boundaries of the service area and the powers to be exercised therein, and which is approved by both, one, a majority of the voters residing within the boundaries of the existing service area, or, in case of a reduction, the majority of the voters who will remain within the boundaries of the service area after the reduction, and two, a majority of the voters residing in the area which will be added to or subtracted from the existing service area, or if no voters reside within that area, by written consent of all owners of real property within the area which will be added to or subtracted from the existing service area. C, consolidation of service areas. Service areas may be consolidated for any or all of the services provided in each service area. The consolidation shall be by an ordinance adopted by the assembly and approved by a majority of the voters residing in each of the service areas to be consolidated. D, expansion or reduction of powers. When a service area has been established for the exercise of one or more powers, the borough may exercise additional service area powers in that service area or reduce the service area powers exercised in that service area only by an ordinance adopted by the assembly and approved by a majority of the voters residing within the service area. But any power other than those listed in section 14.06 of this charter that was previously exercised by the city of Petersburg may, without approval of the voters, be exercised by the borough on and in the area previously known as the City of Petersburg. E, termination. Any service area may be terminated only by an ordinance adopted by the assembly which describes the boundaries of the service area and the services to be terminated, and which is either, one, approved by a majority of the voters residing within the service area to be terminated, or two, consented to in writing by all of the owners of real property within the boundaries of the service area to be terminated if no voters reside in the service area. The ordinance shall provide for the disposition of the service area's assets and shall provide for payment of the service area's indebtedness and ongoing operational and maintenance expenses from revenues obtained from the service area. F, majority of voters. For the purpose of this section, the term majority of the voters shall mean a majority of qualified voters casting a ballot on the proposition at a general or special election. So the next section, criteria, section 1404, criteria for establishing service areas. Service areas shall be established according to criteria of...
Sarah, you got 30 seconds there to wrap it up, please.
Yes, a need and economic operating efficiency and shall comprise the area to which the services shall be provided. A new service area shall be established only after assembly determination that such services cannot be reasonably provided by an existing service area or by alteration of existing service area. And the final thing is the abilities of the service area, which is laid out in section 14.02. I won't read the whole thing because I don't have time, but there are 8 categories of powers that you'll need to choose when establishing a new service area. These following powers shall only be exercised through service areas. One, the establishment and operation of police departments, the hiring of police officers or the contracting for the services of police officers. Two, the establishment and operation of fire and emergency medical services departments, the hiring of firefighters and the contracting for firefighting services. Three, the collection but not disposal of solid waste except where collection is being requested and voluntarily paid for by the owner of the property to receive such service. Four, water, sewer, and electrical services, except where the extension of such utility service is being requested and voluntarily paid for by the owner of the property to receive such service. 5, street construction and maintenance. This would be snow plowing. 6, building code enforcement. 7, parks and recreation. And 8, animal control. So if you live at Packy's or at Frederick Point East and you want to start a service area, you guys need to talk to each other and then talk to Liz Cabrera. And that's the research I have. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony. Anybody else like to talk about items unrelated to today's agenda? Okay. If not, I'm going to move on here. Next item we had on the was board, commission, and committee reports. Under that, we had a recommendation from the to the assembly from the Planning Commission to see if we can find a way to do a land exchange with title on the Roy's Road property. With that, I'm going to pass on to that, and we'll come back to that at some later date. Under the consent agenda, there is nothing.